Someday soon, my Savior will call out my name.
Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Thank you again for listening today. I do hope the message is a blessing to you. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." I'm surprised how many people, well-meaning religious people, believe that they're better than others, as though God accepted them on the basis of their goodness. And yet the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If then there is not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not, and all have sinned, then all are sinners." I'm amazed at how often religious teaching would have you believe that you must stop being a sinner in order to be saved. As I travel, I see signs that say, "Obey Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38 reads, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." The key word there they're using in their passage on the sign is repent. They're trying to get you to believe that you must quit sinning in order to be saved. I'm going to deal with that passage in another lesson to show you that it doesn't pertain to you anyway. But I want to deal today with the issue of sinners. Christ died for sinners. Notice in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 verse 6 reads, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." There's three things that fascinate me about this passage. It says that Christ died for the ungodly in verse 6, that Christ died for sinners in verse 8, and Christ died for the enemies of God and were reconciled unto him in verse 10. Jesus Christ said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. They that be whole need not a physician." Jesus Christ died for sinners. When did you realize that you're a sinner? Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. When did you accept and admit the fact that you're ungodly? And Jesus Christ reconciled enemies to God. When did you recognize yourself to be an enemy of God? I know people who talk about the Lord as though he's always had his watch and care over them, even from a child. They've always walked with God. They've always known God. And I think it's great when a child can grow up in a home where the Lord is taught and believed on and feared, and the Bible is read and prayer is made. I think that's great. That's the way I want my family to be. That's the way I try to raise my children. But to say that because you've grown up in a religious home makes you saved is a dangerous thing to do. If you're presuming that because you had a religious upbringing, God showed favor on you, you'd be mistaken. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When did you see yourself to be ungodly and a sinner and an enemy? Christ died for you. Christ didn't die for the righteous. If you think you're righteous, you've got a problem. I'm reminded of the parable Jesus Christ told in Luke chapter 18. He said in verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Pharisee there represents everything that is religious about man. All the self-righteousness of man can be summarized in this individual. I notice in verse 11 that it says he stood and prayed thus with himself. With himself. As though God's not even listening to him, because he's boasting to God in the fact that he believes he's better than other men. And he brags about the things that he does good. In other words, he's trusting in his own righteousness. And yet here's this poor publican, won't even lift his head up, won't even look up unto heaven. He knows what he is. He said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He realized, he knew, and was willing to admit what he is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when you believe on Jesus Christ and trust him as your Lord and Savior, it does not change the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that you still live and dwell in a body of sin. I think it's great if when you got saved, some things you were doing that were wrong and sinful, you quit doing. And you should praise God for that. But to believe that as a result of getting saved, you automatically are never going to commit these sins again is just a denial of the truth. You live in a body of sin and by nature are a child of wrath. I've mentioned before the truth of Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 1 he writes, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what it means to be an enemy of God, to be a child of wrath, a child suitable for God to pour his wrath out upon us because of what we are by nature. Back in Romans chapter 5, we can see the cause of this nature. Verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, the one man that brought sin into the world is Adam. And the sin was brought into the world as a nature that you and I inherited. You had no choice in the matter. You were born a sinner. You were born a child of disobedience, a child of wrath. You weren't sinning as an infant, but you had the sin nature in you that you inherited from your parents. And they got it from theirs all the way back to this man, Adam. And so with that nature, we grow up to an age of accountability where we begin to understand what is right and wrong. And when we choose darkness rather than light, as Jesus Christ said men do, then we demonstrate our true nature and become enemies, become sinners. We're born that way, but we become children of wrath by wicked works through our mind. And so there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. I hope you're not one of these who's convinced themselves that they're good, because they're better than other people, because they're more religious, or because they do this or that, or don't do this or that. What I hope is that you've come to the point in your life when you realize that you're lost. Do you know what lost means? Lost means you need a Savior. Lost means that you need to trust Jesus Christ died for your sins because you are a sinner. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order that you can be reconciled unto God through His shed blood because you're an enemy of God. You need to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved because you are ungodly and Christ died for the ungodly. When you come to the point where you realize you're a sinner just like everyone else, then you can see your need for a Savior, and you can see that the ground is level at the cross.
There was a man who thought the Lord had chosen him in the earth, because he was upstanding, the best among the worst, and saved because his heart was pure and white as morning frost. Alas, the day had never been, he'd seen himself as lost. Alas, the day had never been, he'd seen himself as lost. He's like the Pharisee who boasted in his righteousness. Another man, a publican, just smote upon his breast and prayed the Lord for mercy. 'Twas a sinner, that was true. But that man went unjustified rather than the prude. The sinner, he was justified rather than the prude. Oh, the ground is level at the cross where everyone's the same. The grace of God is free to all who call upon His name. Our Savior died for sinners, and to seek and save the lost. There's none that doeth good, the ground is level at the cross. Some people think they're better than the others in the town, but Jesus healed the sick and ate with sinners all around. He hanged upon a tree for wretched folks without a prayer. But proud and haughty men refused to stand among them there. Proud and haughty men refused to stand among them there. Oh, the ground is level at the cross where everyone's the same. The grace of God is free to all who call upon His name. Our Savior died for sinners, and to seek and save the lost. There's none that doeth good, the ground is level at the cross. Salvation is a gift, you couldn't earn it if you tried. If you could gain God's favor, tell me, why did Jesus die? Just ask the Lord to save you, and He promises He will. The ground is level at the cross, it's flat on Calvary's hill. Oh, the ground is level at the cross where everyone's the same. The grace of God is free to all who call upon His name. Our Savior died for sinners, and to seek and save the lost. There's none that doeth good, the ground is level at the cross. There's none that doeth good, the ground is level at the cross.
Christ died for sinners. When was there a time in your life when you admitted you are a sinner and you cannot save yourself? I remember that time in my life. My testimony is simply this: I'm a sinner saved by grace. At 20 years old, I remember hearing a Bible tape with a preacher talking about lost believers. And on that tape, He mentioned people that believed in Jesus Christ historically, but had never come to the point in their lives when they trusted in Him as their Lord and Savior, believing that He died for their sins, was buried and raised again. And this man on the tape was talking about me. I realize he didn't know me, but I came under conviction, realizing at that moment that I was lost. That there had never been a time when I saw myself as a sinner in need of a Savior. And I got lost that day. I don't remember the date, but I remember the day. I remember where I was. I was in Nashville, Tennessee, in a dorm room, and it was summer. And I was listening to this tape on a cassette player when I heard the words that brought me under conviction. And I knew at that moment that if I died right then and there, I would bust hell wide open, because I was the ungodly. I was the sinner. I was the enemy of God that Jesus Christ died for. And I remember saying out loud, God, I'm lost. I'm a lost man, and I need a Savior. And I ask God to save me. You should have a testimony similar to that. I don't mean in the circumstances, but in the fact that you came under conviction at some point in your life. And it may not have been you were face down in the gutter or in the jail cell or something like that. It might have been a revelation as you were taking a shower. It might have been you sitting at a Bible conference or in church, hearing the word preached. But somewhere you heard the gospel of Christ, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you became aware of the fact that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. That's what Paul did. Paul was as religious as a man could get. By the way, he was a Pharisee. He was one of those who would have boasted in his righteousness like the man in Luke chapter 18. He was not the kind of man that was running around committing sins intentionally, as we look at sinners today. He was one of those who thought he was doing God a favor by having a Christian killed or persecuted. He writes these words in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He was so religious that if you held the law up and said, Paul, have you kept this? Have you kept that? He would have been able to say, yes, I have. Blameless under the law, as far as the letter is concerned, but a guilty sinner just like you and just like me, as far as God was concerned. Because by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And the purpose of the law was to show Saul of Tarsus that he needed a Savior. And rather than believe, he kicked against the pricks and he persecuted the church. But he goes on to say this in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, that is, in his religious system, the gain that he was accomplishing, he says, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of the law by faith. When did you, religious person, count your righteousness but dung and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? When did you turn your case over to Jesus Christ, as it were, and let Him handle it? Quit trying to be good, quit trying to be righteous, and be found in Him and receive the righteousness of God by faith. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then God's righteousness is being manifested without the law. That means you can't earn it, and you can't keep the law and obtain God's righteousness. You can receive God's righteousness right now by believing on Jesus Christ, believing that He kept the law for you, that He went to Calvary's cross for you and in your place because you were a sinner and you called upon Him and trusted Him. When did you do that? The law can't help you. It can only show you your need and shut our mouths so that we can't claim to be righteous. I'm fascinated at the number of Christians, professing Christians, who are offended at this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." The context is God the Father made Jesus Christ to be sin for us. Do you realize that Jesus Christ became the lost sinner on the cross that I was and that you are if you're not saved? That's how He was able to impute His righteousness unto us who believe, because He imputed our trespasses unto the Lord Jesus Christ. God made Him to be sin for us. If Jesus Christ was made to be sin for you, then your sin was placed upon Him. That means you're a sinner. And you're a sinner in need of a Savior if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you are trusting in a religious set of rules or regulations or your own self-righteousness. Paul counted his righteousness but dung. He said, "All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." The Pharisee there in Luke chapter 18 didn't see his righteousness as filthy rags. He thought he was something good, believed he was more special than the publican. Well, bless God, I'm the publican. I don't deserve the least bit of God's grace. I deserve for Him to put me in the bottom of hell, and if He'd done it, He'd been right to do it, and He'd be justified. And the same is true of you. You are not good enough in any of the righteous things you've ever done for God to accept you. But He can accept you as a sinner, as an enemy, as ungodly, as a child of wrath. He can accept you in His Son. When were you found in Him? When did you have God's righteousness imputed unto you? When was there a time that you humbled yourself and the Lord broke your heart and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If there has never been a time in your life when you've done that, may I suggest to you that you're lost. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world," that's a little g, god of this world is Satan, "in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." All right, then, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That means an individual who believes not the gospel of Christ is lost. And he's been blinded by the god of this world. And let me tell you what he uses to blind you. He'll use religion. He'll use the lie and the deception that you are good enough and all people are just working their own way up to the Lord, and every man can do that which is right in his own eyes. Those are deceptions and lies directly from the devil. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If I asked you, where is the gospel of your salvation, could you tell me? If you don't know where it is, could you tell me what it is? What is the gospel? What is the good news about Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ? Well, the good news is Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried and raised again the third day, according to the Scriptures. He died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. He died for the enemies. He died for you. If you will trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God will save you right now. Why would you wait another second to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved? And then you have the benefit of knowing that you're saved eternally, you're saved from wrath, you've been saved from your sins because all of your sins have been forgiven, and you now have the atonement. Back in Romans 5, he says, having now received the atonement, we look back to the cross where our sins have been atoned for. There's nothing left to do. They've been blotted out and remembered no more. That is the beauty of this salvation. But in order to receive it, you must become lost. A pastor friend of mine doesn't ask people, are you saved? He says, when were you lost? I know people that claim to be saved that say, I was never lost. If you were never lost, how could Jesus Christ save you? He said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. If you get lost, you can be saved. Will you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I pray that you will. I thank you for listening and pray the message is a blessing to you. You've been listening to Believing the Bible every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 1580 KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. Grace Family Bible Church meets every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Bible study and 11 o'clock for fellowship services at the Silver Center, 510 Court Street, here in Seguin. We would love to have you come and join us. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.